is Mark chapter 5, Mark chapter 5 and Revelation chapter 1. As we continue to go through Revelation, if you have need a Bible, going to do a lost and found announcement. Anybody lose a really nice Bible? Really nice. If nobody takes it, I'm taking it. Is it yours? No. Whose is it? Is it? We'll do it like this then. Here. See if it's yours. Is it yours? Is this your wife's? Does anybody know what whose this is? If nobody claims this, I'm taking it. No? Nobody does recognize that? Well, I'm glad we got that Bible back, though. Yeah, our pleasure. Mark chapter 5 and Revelation chapter 1. We'll start in Mark 5, so if you have your Bibles open there. Let us pray. Lord, we never want to take your word lightly, but Lord, we want to come to you with great expectation of you to speak to us. Speak into our hearts. Speak into our lives and encourage us today, God, by your word. For we know within the pages of our Bibles that we can find such promises that we can hold on to that will help us endure the things in this world, things that we're going through in our own personal lives. And so, God, we pray as this time is set aside for you to speak to us, that we would be all ears to hear what you have to say. Teach us your word. Teach us your ways, that we would be well-pleasing in your sight. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I've titled today's message, The Life That Loves the Lord, Part 1. Because really, as we're in the first chapter of Revelation, we're seeing the life of John, the apostle. And before he's getting ready to write this letter, this book of Revelation to the churches, and there's some things that are going on in his life. And truly, John was a man who loved the Lord and was loved by the Lord. But when we realize that just because we love the Lord or the Lord loves us, we're not exempt from difficult times, are we? We're not exempt from trials and setbacks and hurt and pain because we live in this world. And so my question to us all this morning is, how do we respond, or how do you respond to difficulties in your life? How do you respond? What actions do you take? Those seasons that we all go through, every single one of us, if we're human, we find ourselves taking on the weight of the world, and nothing seems to go right. I don't know, maybe sometimes it's for a length of time. Sometimes it's for months or years. It just seems like nothing going right. And so this morning, I want to talk specifically to you this morning who are here and you're a single mother. You're raising your kids. You're trying to train them up. You're trying to teach them well. You're trying to instruct them in the ways of the Lord. And you're doing your best, but just things just aren't going right. But and you're doing your best, and you're struggling with some things in your own life, and you're trying to pour these things into your kids. You want the best for your kids, but you're doubting that your best is good enough. Where do you go for help? I'm talking to you this morning that have lost your jobs, finding yourself creating a new career, having to start over from scratch and begin to build a future for yourself. You know you need to be responsible and have income and these types of things, but you're finding yourself in that place that you're struggling. Where do you go for help? Or maybe you're here this morning and your marriage is at an all-time low. Your wife, your spouse, you just don't get along any longer. Every little conversation becomes an argument. And there's just these struggles. Oh, you remember the days when you were younger and you were in love and you used to laugh together and have fun together over the small little things. But now even the small things in life are becoming big arguments. And I like seeing husbands kissing their wives when we're in service. Where do you go for help when you're in that place? Or maybe you're here today and your life is great. Everything's going well. Your marriage is on fire. Your job is great. I mean, you felt called to it. Your kids are fine. But there's just some uneasiness there. Have you ever felt that? When everything seemed to be good on the outside, but there's just something on the inside that's going, something's off. I can't put my finger on it. What's going on? Where do you go for help? Listen, sometimes these things happen to us just because we're human. Sometimes these things happen because of choices we've made. But the dependence upon the Lord is the most important thing. And John the Apostle is human. And he's an old man at this point. You know, he's in his late 80s, early 90s, and now he finds himself in a very difficult spot. He finds himself in a place that he probably never thought he would be. And there's no doubt he's probably asking God, why am I here? But we're going to see some things that he chooses to do in his difficult place that I think we can learn from. And I want to ask you this morning, do you believe God can help you in your situation, in your every situation? Do you believe that, that God can reach his healing hand down and restore a marriage and restore a job and help you meet the needs of your kids? Do you believe that? Yes. There has to be that belief. Even though there may be a dry season, even though there may be some time that goes by that you maybe don't feel, you got to believe. And that's why I bring you to Mark chapter 5. If you go to verse 25, we see a story about a woman who's been in a difficult situation for a long time and what God does, Jesus does. Verse 25, Mark chapter 5, says, "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. You hear that? And had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse." So here's the situation. This woman has had a situation in her life, a health issue, for 12 years. It's been a burden in her life. And you've got to understand that this burden in her life, this health issue in her life, isolated her from all society. She was an outcast. For 12 years, nobody would want to come around her. For 12 years, going from doctor to doctor to doctor. Anybody can say an amen to that? Trying to find somebody that can make a difference. Nobody could. And in fact, she gets to the point where I've spent all my money, and I'm in the worse position than I was when I started. This woman's in a hopeless situation. Wouldn't you agree? She's in a hopeless situation, and we've all been there. Look at the next verse, verse 27. "When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said," notice her faith here, "if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed from the affliction." There's an amen point right there. "And Jesus," verse 30, "immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my clothes?'" I love his disciples' response. "But his disciples said to him, 'You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me?'" Basically, they're saying, "Everybody's touching you, Lord." Verse 32, "And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction.'" This woman believed with every ounce of her body that Jesus could make a difference, even though for 12 years nobody else could. The reality is, there was a time when Jesus was thronged with a multitude of people, and when they heard that Jesus was around, they brought all the lame, they brought all the sick, they brought all the demon-possessed, and it says, anyone who touched his garment was immediately made well. No doubt in my mind that this woman heard the story, and she heard that Jesus was near where she was, and she said, "I'm going to get to him." And my friends, notice her faith that Jesus could. Notice her faith that she worked through the difficulties to get to Jesus. It says she went through the crowd. She pushed through. Now listen, she's an outcast. Nobody wants to be around her. And she's in this crowd, and she's wanting to do it secretly because she doesn't want to bring attention to her condition. because her heart is broken. I wonder how many of us in this room today are concerned about our condition. We don't want anybody else to know, but we're not pushing closer to Jesus. See, the life that loves the Lord does everything it can to get to the Lord. Because that's where your answer is, my friends. That's where you're at. So I don't know what's hindering you in your life. I don't know what's holding you back. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's lack of faith. Maybe it's peer pressure. Well, if people know I'm a Jesus freak, what's holding you back from getting to Jesus? What condition are you finding yourself in this morning that you need the touch of Jesus? You need to touch Christ, and you need to reach out, and you need to push through. And maybe it's our arrogance. Maybe it's our pride that keeps us from God. Whatever it is, push through. You've got to believe that Jesus can do it. Do you believe this morning? Do you believe? This woman expected a healing. How many of us walk into church on Sundays or anywhere in our life on any day and say, I expect God to show up? Do you know how radical our services would be if every single one of us in here expected God to speak to them? We'd be on fire for the Lord. We'd say, Lord, I know your word's going to tell me something, and I'm going to obey it. That's what this woman did. She expected. She didn't come to Jesus and say, hey, I've been in this condition for 12 years, and a lot of doctors have done stuff, and they've all failed. I don't know if you can do anything, could you? That's not faith. No, she pushed through. And maybe someone in here this morning needs to push through. Maybe you're this close to your healing. Maybe you're this close to your victory. Maybe you're this close to your deliverance from whatever it is in your life. Are you willing to push in a little bit closer? Are you willing to believe and expect God to do it? God can do it. You just got to get to him, and you just got to touch him. You got to be drawn closer into his presence. Pushing through the distractions and believing God can do it. Get in the presence of God. See, difficulties are always going to be there, aren't they? We can expect that. You know, Jesus said, in this world, you will face tribulation. So I hope I'm not waking you up to the reality that tomorrow could be the worst day of your life. Sorry to disappoint you, but it could be. It could also be the best day of your life. And it's out of our control. But do we believe God will do it? In this world, you will face tribulation. And John was facing a tribulation, my friends. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 1. And I apologize. I know a lot of you are trying to get to chapter 2, but I just can't get there that fast. I had a message prepared for 20 verses and just got 3. It's all good, right? What's the hurry? If Jesus comes back, then we don't have to finish the Bible. We'll be witnessing the Bible. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. Let's see what's going on with John. In verse 9, it says, I, John, both your brother and companion, here it is, in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Good reason. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the 7 churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Give me your attention. John starts this out, this section out, hey, I'm John, and I'm your brother, and I'm your companion in the tribulation. John is on the island of Patmos, right? And if you've ever done any study on the island of Patmos, which I'm sure no one has, it is a very rocky, a very barren, and a very unpleasant place to be. Anybody there? Anybody in a Patmos today? Anybody in a difficult place? Anybody in a hard place? Anybody in a barren place feeling all alone? When Nikki was talking about herself being isolated, feeling isolated and alone, that's the worst place to be. That's the worst feeling to be, that I'm the only one going through this. John was feeling this. John was feeling this isolation. I mean, wouldn't you imagine the Apostle John at 89, 90 years old, serving the Lord all his life, being pastor in churches, writing the Gospel of John, now finds himself banished to the island of Patmos, isn't looking up to heaven going, what? Right? I've served you all these years, and this is where I am? Couldn't you have stopped this? Why would you allow this, God? I submit to you, God allowed it to get John's attention. God allowed him to be banished to a barren place because those are the places that we find ourselves where? On our knees and in prayer, right? When we find ourselves in an uneasy place, it's like, Lord, why am I here? Because I want you to talk to me. I don't know, maybe John was feeling pretty good. He's, you know, again, very late in his years, ministering, seeing God work, seeing people, you know, churches explode, seeing people getting saved. Maybe John's going, man, I've got a pretty good job. This is pretty cool. And maybe he was kind of chilling. What has God got to do to get your attention? What does God have to allow you to go through to get your attention? Wouldn't it be great if we prayed as much when things are going well as when things are going bad? Right? Why is it, hey, let's have a prayer meeting. I need a job. Oh, let's have a prayer meeting. I'm struggling. Let's have a prayer meeting to see God move. Let's have a prayer meeting to see what God is going to do in our hearts, in our lives, because we serve a God that wants to use us. See, John was in a bad place, but listen, for a good reason. If you're taking notes, write that down. John was in a bad place for a good reason. Are we willing to be in a bad place for a good reason if God wants to speak to us? I would hope so. I would also believe that we're in a bad place for as short of a period of time as we have to be in order to get the good reason to come out. But sometimes that's where we need to be. Think about your place, where you are right now, and maybe God's allowed you to be there so that you'll spend more time with him, talking to him, praying to him, asking him to use you in that place. I don't believe for one second, even though John might have doubted and wondered why, I don't ever think John would be like, get me out of here, Lord. I think John's prayer was, I don't want to be here. I don't know why I'm here, but use me while I am here. It's just other criminals. The island of Patmos was where the Romans sent their criminals. And John, the apostle, is there because he was a preacher, because he shared the good news of Jesus Christ, and he believed in prophecy. He believed in the things of the future. And so John was exiled there. And he must look for the opportunity. God, why am I here? And we know, if we know the book of Revelation, we know what God's going to do. He's going to give him the book of Revelation. As the world tries to isolate John and push him away, God goes, I'm going to use that, and I'm going to write one of the most important books in the Bible through you, John. He got his attention. Listen, where does God have you? If you're in that bad place, say, God, I'm willing to be here if you'll be here with me. Why do we feel like when we're in a bad place, God has like abandoned us? No, he's with us. How many times was the Apostle Paul put into prison? And we find and read that he's singing psalms and hymns and ministering to the other inmates, and he's also ministering to the guards. I mean, he took the opportunities to minister. Look for those opportunities in your life. The life that loves the Lord, listen, will face tribulation. That's the first thing. The life that loves the Lord. If you love the Lord, you're going to face tribulation. That's a matter of fact. The question is, what are you going to do in that time? What's God going to show you? What's God going to reveal to you? You've heard me say it before. It's in my difficult seasons in life that I hear the most from the Lord, that I learn the most from God. When I'm going through a trial, when I'm going through a difficult place, I'm always asking God. I'm crying out to God. Paul says it here in Acts 14:22, should be overhead. It says, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. That's what we signed up for when we believed in Jesus. Wait, I just wanted to be loved by God and I wanted to be used by God. No. We, through many tribulations, must enter into the kingdom of God. It's not easy, is it? It's a narrow path. It's a narrow road. It's not easy. James tells us we got to consider it pure joy when we face trials. How many people have said, man, praise God, I got a trial coming up this week? We don't consider it pure joy. But he goes on and says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces what nobody wants. Patience. Patience. Who in here is patient? That's good. We got one. Okay, good. Patience is enduring difficult times. That's what patience is, right? When you're standing in line at Starbucks, you got to be patient. There's a lot of stuff on those shelves that you're going to start buying. That's why they want you to stand in a long line. Sorry, Tish. Are you willing to be in a bad place because you love Jesus? And here, I apologize for all the dog illustrations I use in my sermons, but that's really all I got these days. 2 Wednesdays ago, I find myself with both of my dogs, Whisper and Abby, at the vet, the emergency, and just had gotten some bad news about one of my dogs, another one. And so I'm carrying, picture this, 9-pound dog, 6-pound dog, 6'4" man, lost his man card long ago, walking out of the vet in Nashville over by 100 Oaks Mall. Okay, I'm walking out of the vet and I'm thinking, Lord, really? Another dog with maybe cancer? This maybe it's cancer? Really? After what we've gone through? After all the prayers? I'm studying for this and I'm thinking, I'm John. I'm on the island of Patmos. I'm going, Lord, why? I'm walking out of the Nashville veterinary specialist. And as I walk out, this woman's walking in and she goes, oh, what cute dogs you have. I'm thinking, she likes me. Just kidding. Thinking she's going, this poor guy. She saw what cute dogs, and so I introduced her to the dogs, and she said, oh, this one's Abby, and this one's Whisper, and she just says they're cute. I go, is your animal okay? And she goes, well, not really. My dog may have cancer, and we're hoping that it's only a carcinoma. And she goes, what a silly thing to hope that it's only a carcinoma and not lymphoma, because if it's lymphoma, they can't do anything, but if it's a carcinoma, they can do something. I'm like, well, it's nothing that prayer can't fix. And she kind of tilts her head and goes, what did you say? I said, well, it's nothing that prayer can't fix. If we pray, God can take care of it. So we need to believe. And she goes, yeah, yeah. So I can tell already she's not too keen on the prayer thing. So I go, what is your dog's name? She goes, my dog's name is Tucker. I said, well, listen, tonight I'm going to a Bible study and we're going to pray for your dog, Tucker. So we get to the Bible study on Wednesday, and this is where I thank God that he helps me remember to pray for somebody that I said I would pray for. Ever been there? It's like, and I think he used my dog to help me remember about Tucker. So, okay, we're going to pray for Abby. Oh, yeah, and we got to pray for Tucker. So we pray for Tucker. And I, if I remember right, somebody can correct me. I feel like I prayed for the woman as well, that she would realize that God can do a work. My heart was for her as well. So pray for Tucker. So we pray for Tucker. So I felt pretty good that we did that. The very next day, I'm in Maryland Farms at the dentist at 3 o'clock. My appointment's at 3. It's 3:05. I'm already a little aggravated, just to be honest with you. But here comes my hygienist walking out with the woman of Tucker. And I'm literally sitting there going, there is no way. It looks like the woman. And I'm thinking, could it be possibly? So I'm sitting there and I'm like, do you have a dog named Tucker? And she turns around and she goes, oh my God. She turns to the hygienist, which is my hygienist. She goes, this is the guy I was telling you about that had the 2 little white dogs. And she goes, I cannot believe it. My hygienist, who's a strong believer, immediately starts crying. She goes, I can't handle it. Turns around and walks away. And I'm like, how's Tucker? She goes, well, we won't know. And I was so blessed by God to be able to say, we prayed for your dog, Tucker. Instead of going, oh, I forgot. It's like, oh. I'm like, she's like, I just can't believe this. I go, I can't believe this either. And here's the thing. The reason I tell the story, not to just laugh at me for my dogs, I was feeling in a pretty dry place. I was feeling a little discouraged. I was asking God, why? And I believe it was so that this woman could see that you got to believe in God. Because the chances of us showing up at the same time, at the same place, with the same hygiene, that had to be God. So it's like, hopefully, and I haven't heard yet, I'm waiting to hear back that Tucker's okay. But I just can't help but think that that woman goes, wow, this has to be a God who wins. It has to be a God who wins. And to maybe increase her faith a little bit, increased my faith, I was like, thank you, Lord, for letting us pray for a dog named Tucker. So keep Tucker in your prayers. Let's believe that God would touch this woman and, you know, save this woman. She's she's a pretty famous bond agent around here or something. I don't know what she does. Private investigator, that's what she is. I'm like, So sometimes we question what we go through, but I feel very strongly that in our difficulties, God can speak to us, God can reach us, God can use us, God can increase our faith with whatever you're going through. So that's why I say, if God's got you in a bad place, it's okay. He's there with you. He'll walk you through it. Because, again, the life that loves the Lord will face tribulation. But also, the life that loves the Lord must worship him at all times. Did you see verse 10? John's on the island of Patmos, a rocky, stony, dry, abandoned place. He's probably living in a cave. And do you see what it says? I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Hello. John's having church. He's in a bad place, but he's worshiping the Lord. Why? Because that's who John is. You hear me? Is that who you are? Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? Are you a follower of God? Do you love the Lord? Do you worship him only when things are going well? Praise God, my bills are paid. Praise God, I got a great job. Praise God, my spouse is great. Praise God, I'm getting a dog that my husband wouldn't let me have. I don't know how Micah did that, but she got that. I'm wondering if Jordan's going to praise the Lord during the time of potty training. Oh, it's going to be fun. Listen. The life that loves the Lord worships at all times. All times. I was driving the other day. It was the day before the National Day of Prayer, which was on Thursday a couple weeks ago. So on Wednesday, I'm driving and I'm listening to a Christian radio station, and they're talking about the National Day of Prayer. And so they just say, hey, prayer is important. Prayer is powerful. Prayer can change things. So if, you know, they usually put it out there, if anybody's had an opportunity to see prayer work in life, call in and give testimony. So this one guy calls in. He says, I'm driving to work the other day. And he goes, and I have this condition that, the disease that actually, I get some pain at certain times. And when I get this pain, it usually lasts 4 to 5 hours. He goes, and I'm driving to work, and all of a sudden I start feeling the symptoms of my condition start to rise. And I'm going to work, and I'm thinking, man, I don't want to be out of work today. And he goes, so I know the pain's coming. So he goes, decided he was going to pray. And he goes, but what I did is I didn't pray for God to take the pain away. I didn't pray for God to heal me. I just prayed that God and I would have a closer, intimate relationship, that we would be connected more closely, that I would feel closer to the Lord. He goes, that's what I prayed. That's all I wanted. He goes, and in that prayer, God took away my pain and God healed me. And it just struck me so that in our times of praying to God, that we wouldn't just say, God, I need you to do this. I want this. Could you help me with this? Could you heal me with this? Instead, God, I just want more of you. I just want to worship who you are. You're awesome, God. There's no one like you. And I just got to draw my attention to you. In Jesus, when he models prayer for his disciples, what does he say? Our Father who art in heaven, what? Hallowed be your name. Jesus starts it out by saying, Lord, you're awesome. Your name is reverent. Holy is your name. We're going to lift you up. Why? It gets our focus off of ourselves, gets our focus on God, to worship him at all times. So even in the midst of our difficulty, even John on the island of Patmos is going, I'm in the Spirit. I'm feeling the presence of God. I'm worshiping the Lord. and I'm giving him glory. And we know the power of the effect of this attitude that John had. What God did and how he spoke to John through this attitude that he had. Psalm 100 and verse 4. It's talking about the tabernacle. It's talking about the temple. And it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. And if you know the layout of the temple, there's a gate, and then you enter into a court, and then you know the various things within there. And a very wise Calvary pastor kind of taught us to pray the tabernacle and enter his gates with thanksgiving. First thing you do, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, number one, for who you are. Thank you for my health. Thank you for my kids. Thank you for my trials. Thank you. Thanking him. Pray. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. And just worship him. That's how our prayers should start. I believe if we start our prayers in that way, we're going to be praying according to his will, because we've already thanked him for who he is. And so it helps us. So I encourage you to apply that to your life. Give him thanks. Give him praise. Focus on his. Say you just want a closer relationship with him. Because if you're close to God, you're going to be able to go through anything. Don't you believe that? No matter what the enemy tries to throw at you, I've got God with me. We need to believe that. We need to worship him at all times. Now listen, I say all this, but I also want to give kind of a side note. There's nothing wrong with asking God, why am I going through this? Do you hear me? There's nothing wrong with saying, God, why are you allowing this to happen to me? Why do you have me in this place? Whatever. There's nothing wrong with that, but here's the thing. Don't always expect an answer for that. Do you hear me? Just because we go, why, doesn't mean God goes, oh, well, you asked me, I'll tell you. No. Sometimes he'll tell you. Sometimes he'll show you. Because I think sometimes we're asking why because we're wondering, what am I doing wrong? Lord, what's in my life that's causing this to happen to me? What sin am I not aware of that's causing me to feel this pain? There's no answer to that because there may not be a reason. There might not be that reason. That might not be the reason. It might not be because you're a bad person. It might not be because you made a mistake. It might be not because you were mad at your kids. That's not the reason. As I said earlier, he might have you in that place because he wants to get your attention. So nothing wrong with asking why, but don't always expect an answer. You know, these last 2 years for my wife and I have been really rough. We've had some tough things we've had to go on through. Started out with what we call I went down. That's the term, I went down. But here's the thing. As hard as it's been, since September, we've been riddled with dog problems, pet problems, heart problems. In these 2 years, there's one thing that we're sure of. We still love the Lord. He still loves us. And we're still going to worship him, as hard as it is. And here's the thing. None of this is going to matter when we're there. I can't wait to get to heaven so I can never have to remember about any of these bad things that happened here. Do you understand? Heaven's more than we can imagine. No more pain, no more crying, no more sorrow. I don't know about you, but if I have to remember the pain I went through in the world, I'm going to have sorrow. So if he says there's going to be no more of that, I'm going to forget all this pain. So here, listen, and I think it's Peter that says, hey, it's just for a small time, it's for a small season that we go through this difficulty, but the glory that's ahead of us is going to be amazing. Paul might have said that. It's like, man, it's going to be worth it when we get there. It's going to be worth it when we get there. The life that loves the Lord will face tribulation. The life that loves the Lord worships him at all times. Then lastly, the life that loves the Lord wants God's will. Okay? Be content where you're at because God's going to use it. John was, he needed to be content. He was worshiping him, content with that. Notice what it says in verse 11. After he says this, in the rest of verse 10, I was in the Spirit in the Lord's day and heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. He's in a bad place. He's worshiping God, but God's speaking to him. And I don't know about you, I would love it if God would speak to me in a really loud voice. You know this still small voice stuff? I know it's how God works, but I would rather him go, Rob, I need you to do this! I'm ready. Where is it? Wouldn't you? A loud voice. John's worshiping and he's praying and he hears this loud voice behind him. And what does the voice say? I am the Alpha and the Omega. What he is telling John and what he is telling you this morning is he's saying, I was there before you. I will be there after you. Therefore, I am there with you now. I am the Alpha and the Omega. If he's in the beginning and before the beginning, if he's there in the end and after the end, wouldn't it make perfect sense that he's here right now? He's in the now. He's telling John, John, I know where you're at. I know what's going on. Notice it says, the first two words that it says, I am. Those two words ring a bell to anybody? When Moses was acting God, what named you? I am. He's the great I am. And he's saying, I am where you are, John. I am in everything you're going through. I know everything you're experiencing. And here today for you that are sitting in these seats, God knows what you're going through. He is the I am. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the first and the last. What you're experiencing, he experienced it before you. What you will experience, he's already experienced it. He's been there. That brings great encouragement to those who are struggling. And if God says, I know what you're going through, I know where you are, I'm everything you need, just depend on me, then the life that loves the Lord wants his will to be done. Then Lord, if you're in it, I want it. Do you hear me? If God's in it and you're there, then you want it. Would we ever say to our Creator, I don't like your plan? We may not, but I think at some point we finally go, I don't like it, but I know yours is better. Those of us that experienced God's plan over our plan know the difference. Thank God he didn't give me what I wanted. Right? Because what I wanted would have hurt me. What I wanted would have not have been as powerful as what God had. That's the reality, my friends. Here's the thing. John was in the Spirit. He was sensitive to the Spirit. He was in tune with the Spirit. And this is what I want to close with. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives. You need the Holy Spirit in your life. And as we look at John in his place, being dependent upon the Holy Spirit, being in the Spirit, his ears are in tune to hear what God says. If we don't have the Spirit, guess what? We don't have the right station. Because if we're either walking in the Spirit or we're walking in what? Flesh. Galatians tells us, walk in the Spirit, you shall not walk in the lust of the flesh. So if our ears are not in tune, we're not in the Spirit, we're not hearing the voice of God. Acts 1:8. Birth of the church. Jesus says to the early disciples in the first chapter, verse 8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Is there anybody here that wants some power? What this verse is talking about is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And Nikki, you touched on it. When you talked about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, I was like, Lord, I know you're here. Salvation, when you accept Christ in your life, when you believe that Jesus is your Messiah, the Holy Spirit comes into your life. This experience in Acts 1:8 is talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes upon your life so that you can have power to live for him. I look at it like this. I need the Holy Spirit in me to change me. I need the Holy Spirit upon me to use me. In me to change me, upon me to use me. We need the Holy Spirit. If we're going to see God move in our church, in our homes, in our communities, in our workplaces, we need the Holy Spirit. Do you want power? Dunamis, that's the word we get, dynamite. That's the kind of power that the Holy Spirit can give to us. If you want that, do you know what you have to do to get it? You got to stand on one leg, itch this ear, and no, you don't have to do that. You have to ask God for them. If you're saved, if you know that you're saved, you know that if you died today, you're going to go to heaven because you believe in Jesus. But you've never had the baptism of the Holy Spirit. All you have to do, see, I didn't say all you have to do is ask God to give you the Holy Spirit. Every Sunday morning, I ask God to give me the Holy Spirit. If you're here this morning and you want to see power in your life, if you want to see the power of the Holy Spirit in your life so that you can endure difficult times, can I ask you to stand up so that I can pray that you would receive the Holy Spirit? And it's no pressure, not emotional. If you need power in your life and you want the Holy Spirit, I ask you to stand up right now. You're going to need it, Jordan. That puppy is next Saturday. You're going to need the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Wow, I love this. I love this. Now listen. The Holy Spirit will come upon you because you're asking. You need to believe by faith. Just like you believe you got saved, you need to believe by faith that you're going to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you're going to begin to see God move in your life. If you're near somebody, could you just put a hand upon them? We're believing that God is going to do this by the laying on of hands. Father in heaven, we just worship you this morning. We thank you so much for the power of your word and the conviction of the Holy Spirit to bring us to this place where we know we need the Holy Spirit in our lives. But Lord, we want that power, not for ourselves, Lord, but for you. We want to be those witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria. We want to be those witnesses in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, in our communities. And so, God, we pray right now by faith, pour out your Spirit upon all flesh. Pour out your Spirit upon these who are desiring that Spirit to come upon them. Lord, that not only will they know that they're saved, but now they'll be able to share why they're saved with others. Lord, that their eyes would be transformed, that they would see things differently, that their ears would be transformed, that they would hear you more clearly, and that their feet would be anointed, Lord, that they would go to the places that you want them to go. And Lord, we know that it's not the miraculous. We know that you don't have to fill this room with a bright light in order to confirm what you've done. Your word says you will faithfully give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. And so, Lord, as these people are standing in faith, they're asking. It's not my words, Lord. It's their hearts that they want more of you. And so come upon them now. Use them for your purposes and for your kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Now we're going to see some power happen here. Expect God to use you. Do you hear me? Remember the old woman. Expect God to use you. Expect things to change for you in the weeks ahead. And then give God the glory. Give God the praise. If your life loves the Lord, you're going to expect tribulation. You're going to worship him at all times. And you're going to want his will to be done. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for this Bible study this morning. We thank you for the Apostle John, who even in a difficult place showed us that we must continue to worship you. We pray, Lord, that these things would not leave our minds or hearts, but we would see them lived out in the days ahead. Bless this church. Bless these who have come. We pray that you would use us for your glory and for your honor. We look forward to being with you in heaven, but until that time, give us strength to endure to the very end. We love you, God. We thank you for your work. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.